This month's podcast is being released in conjunction with the State Library and Archives' new online exhibit, Pestilence, Potions, and Persistence, Early Florida Medicine. The materials in the exhibit originate from various collections in the holdings of the State Library and Archives of Florida that highlight the role of health and wellness in the lives of Florida citizens and the development of the state. The exhibit follows the gradual evolution of medical practice and healthcare infrastructure in Florida with documents, correspondence, and photographs dating back to the territorial period. Digitized images from the Florida Photographic Collection provide a view of early healthcare facilities and doctors, pioneering African American physicians and women caregivers, as well as Native American healers. An extensive essay chronicles the many challenges facing Florida's transition from a disease-prone wilderness swampland to the tourism and recreation paradise we know today. In whole, Pestilence, Potions, and Persistence, Early Florida Medicine, paints a sweeping picture of the changing face of medicine in the nation's first state to experience settlement by foreign explorers. Our podcast features a component of Florida medicine that existed long before those European adventurers ever reached the coastlines of the state. In this oral history interview, recorded on January 18, 1985, Seminole Indian tribal healer Susie Billy of the Big Cypress Seminole Indian Reservation discusses how she learned healing practices from her mother and father as a child, including herb gathering and identification, preparing natural cures, gender roles in Seminole medicine, physical and spiritual healing, payment methods for administering services, and the use of medicine songs. It is a truly rare and fascinating opportunity to listen to the experiences and methods of a Seminole healer firsthand. Enjoy.
Here we are. This is Black Knowing, and Andrew Graham, and Jeanette Cypress. Pilot Billy. Talking to Susie Jim Billy on the Big Cypress Reservation, January 18th, 1985. And we're just going to ask some general questions. Jeanette's going to do some translating, I hope. And, gosh, I don't know how to start. I'm sort of at a loss here. Susie, tell us where you were raised, born and raised, and who your mother and daddy were.
She was born in Collier County and grew up in Collier County.
And you were born when?
She
doesn't remember. Her dad had told her at one time that.
Yeah. It's been about 85 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're well known as someone who knows the old medicine, the healing medicine. How did you come about to learn medicine?
She said that we were told her by her mother and her family that you're supposed to inquire about medicine and learn so you can help your kids with, you know, when you have children. And so she asked her dad, and her dad taught her some, and her uncles, and a few from her aunts.
Okay. What were their names, dad and uncle and aunts?
Little Jim,
mm-hmm.
Is the father.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know the English names for the uncle.
Okay.
I think back then they usually referred to him by the Indian names,
sure.
And they never.
Now, you were talking one time, Susie, about the difference between healing medicine and sort of the big medicine. What is that difference? You know what I'm talking about, Jeanette?
I think so.
Biskuskin She said there is little ones and then there's some bigger ones. I think I'm trying to remember how we got on that subject last time we were talking about that.
Some medicine is strictly men's, you know, they're in charge of, the big medicine.
I think it's like the green corn dance.
Yeah.
That women didn't do.
Right.
Yeah. That's what she was talking about last time. She said those are more like powerful type of stuff and that certain sexes did that one.
Yeah. And there was something else I read about medicine bundles. Do you know what those medicine bundles are?
Those bundles are for mostly corn dances, the men that carry those too, like the head person for the ceremony.
Yeah.
And the women don't.
Okay.
The women aren't supposed to touch that either.
Okay. Now, was it common when you were learning medicine as a young person for a woman to learn what you learned? She
said back then it was good and it was required for both sexes to learn the medicine. The only thing that was taboo or whatever was the corn dance. That's the only thing the women weren't allowed to learn, the medicine for that. But everything else, I guess, is pretty well open. They can learn whatever they want.
Uh-huh. Is it more common for a woman, a woman who knows medicine, to treat other women, or just as common for a woman to treat men and women?
She said it didn't really matter. A sick man could go to the woman, or a woman can go to a male. Back then, the whole idea was healing. It didn't matter who was doing it. As long as someone knew the cure, they could pretty much doctor whoever was ill. So there was really no restrictions.
Now, if somebody comes to you, how do you know what's really wrong with them?
She said they'll tell you symptoms. They'll talk about what's been wrong with them and stuff. And she says she'll remember the symptoms that she was taught for different medicines. Then she'll decide from the symptoms which medicine to use.
Okay. And if you use a medicine and it doesn't seem to work, do you try something else, or is that just too bad?
She said that if they're still the same, you would add on more things and try it again.
If you try, normally when you treat somebody, you have an herbal part, and then is there normally a song that goes with the herbal treatment? She said you just gather the herbs you need to go with whatever sickness you're going to do, and then you do your chant to go with the disease.
Mm-hmm. Then you mix up your herbs.
Do you sing or say the chant while you're mixing the herbs?
Hopanik suulik. Ay chani tapping lo lo ma tik tapping lik pa khopani pi o tam ta
ni tapping lik pa tana ba chi pa lai chi pa o ba khopani pa ni ro.
She said you prepare it first, you mix it, if it's going to be in water or whatever, you mix it all up, then you do your chant.
Okay,
you sit there after it's already mixed up or prepared.
Okay, do you use a song or a chant when someone's using it, like if they drink it or apply it?
Nanga he shilbo chungo kon hopano wa lunga mate li antnabi pe shilbo chke manta
he tnabi pan shishi pa shilma ita si pumari hayishka mata ro kobala ise kobalus no shishi pa mama mishka to kon shishi pa shilma ita si pumi.
She said that no, you prepare it, like she'll sit by herself and prepare it. That person will come and tell him what's wrong, and they sometimes they'll bring the herbs if they know which herbs they're supposed mm-hmm. to be, because it's easier on her.
Sure.
And then they bring it, and then they'll leave most of the time. She prepares it, you know, where it's peaceful and quiet, where there's no interruptions.
Right.
Then after she's through, a lot of times it's in a jar with water, and so they'll come back to pick it up. And when they come back, she'll tell them how to use it, whether it's supposed to be heated or cold or early in the morning or whatever, whether they have to throw it up.
Yeah.
And she'll tell them how to use it, what not to eat, and how long it's in effect for, and stuff like that. And they take it home, and they can do it at home.
Okay.
So all of it's the song and the whole thing is all together in that stuff. So. And sometimes they might have to use it four times, so they might have to use a little bit, store it in the refrigerator, and then use it again later on until it's empty.
Yeah. And we were talking earlier about the way people pay for this. You know, what are some things that someone might give you in return for the medicine you give them?
She said that it depends a lot on which medicine it is, but some of the things is like material, fabric, and sometimes gun shells, and knives, sometimes a live thing that could be the pig.
Yeah.
Things like that. But sometimes beads.
But she doesn't take like cash money, today's money.
She said that some instances she has, if they cannot find a live pig to give to her, they'll give her the money and she'll buy the meat to eat with it. Or they'll bring like a ham if they can't find get a hold of a live.
Yeah. Okay. Now, can you treat spiritual as well as physical ailments?
He had ne himan ungai golus ten tuya naksha keska naksh naingo shulu pahi na lumus mamuli acha ek chumi mei chumi kosa lumus. Yes.
Yes.
Chinta.
I think she was telling me before that a lot of the illnesses, sometimes they think it's associated with spirits. A lot of times she'll know what that person's sick from the dreams they'll tell her.
Okay.
Like dreams, like,
yeah.
Like one time I had dreams of snakes. All the time I would be like on an island or somewhere and there'd be nothing but snakes. And I'd wake up crying. This is when I was younger. And she told me that my problem was snakes. That I had a sickness with snakes. So she prepared this stuff and I used it, and it was so bad, I think I had a phobia of snakes. Like I'd cry when I'd run into a snake and stuff. I was so paranoid about it.
Yeah.
And I kept going through the treatment with her. Finally I got to where it didn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
And I quit having those dreams.
Yeah.
I even had this sore on my leg where it started peeling.
Is it because of that fear you had of snakes?
And she said that it was a, I was peeling. You know how a snake skin peels, the scale? It was a weird, I had a sore on there and it started peeling and stuff. And it was really weird. But after all that, I was fine.
If someone comes to you with a burn or something that's clearly a physical thing, is that easier to treat than something that might be more spiritually?
No, no. Yatushka, yhli e agnushka ilbush yhli e nomga e ay chumi e montun te chin la wo ju wo shulu pa ni wa chi chin a te chita glonga hantun te ju
la wo yinto dilo ho shwa no wa chon
te the burn
that's relatively easy.
Okay.
What is the hardest kind of problem that a person would come to you with to treat?
Nagit ay chumi e yati mi chumi e lap kshin wan ta chuma mo ra long wa in a week na
nga mi un ko de chin wan dong wa lum de yatus kan ok chus ka tar ka ay chin go un ko de un ko de
she said that when she mentioned before that it was like a dying out art because nobody really does it anymore. Childbirth.
Yeah.
You know, because you she said you figure all the bones and everything had separated, so it's harder to do.
The bones separate.
I mean, during childbirth, it's like she feels like everything kind of
comes apart.
Comes apart, so it's harder to get everything back into.
Okay. Now, where did you learn that particular medicine?
No, the shamahai mikteshin which ya techkishka imikchomega.
She said, her grandfather.
I'm
watching that too.
Her mother's father was when they taught her.
Was that little Jim? No.
That was her father.
Yeah.
I'm watching that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maya pilon ka sung de sung de.
She said that it's the father, her mother is Miami Jim, and her father was Miami Billy. She was named after the father.
Okay. All right. Could you describe the steps involved in this child birthing medicine? So
it's more like, I think, medicine for after they've had the baby.
Yeah.
I to me it han ta chin ai chu mo jing wa ya ya ti chi ge pish ka chi ma la chman te pan wo ti ma la na ga tan tan me chu ra lo o mo ni shkon chu lo me chu ma
ai chu ta la he ji я тут и решил, что я ищем бочкате. Решил, что он чего-то и чего-то нахилен. А что он еще не нахил, что хуган. Мы он уга не потали, он чего и капуфки год. Меньшим ли?
She said that first you have to collect the herbs and either herself or someone that's through childbearing. You know, it can't be someone that's going to have future kids. It's got to be someone that's already through having all their kids.
Okay.
They can collect the herbs. And then after she gets the herbs, they will also bring a skirt as part of the medicine. And she'll sit on the skirt while she prepares the medicine. She mixes it all up. Then while she's doing her chants, usually they blow into it with that. Have you seen one of those bamboo things? She's got. That's how they get. They sing and then they blow into the water. That's how they do it.
Mm.
So that's and mahan kapuf ki pacho kuan hantamo na kaiyan. It's kind of like the heating lamp concept, you know. I don't know if you never had kids, so you wouldn't know, but like after you have your baby, they make you lie down in the bed and they put like a sheet over it and they have that heating lamp. and it's to heal the cuts, you know, where you had your episiotomy. Yeah. It's kind of like that same effect, except she did one on me, I mean, a couple times when I had the kids. And you build like a fire outside, and when she's through preparing the medicine, you keep heating it.
Heating the medicine.
Yeah, because it's a liquid with the herbs all in it. And then she, I remember she put put me like, I had to take all my clothes off, and it was like a sheet, or I can't remember what we used, but like a sheet or something all around. And that steam would have to go up in like in my body and my cuts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how they use it. They keep pouring that medicine in there, and it just keeps like a vapor.
Yeah.
My ishkamanta,
ishkipak.
And then you drink, also drink the medicine. Ishkipak
lapafak shichipak kashayagan shupakipak. Manichipak takhan ishkubishtanichu. Mali.
My ishkipak shichipak kabalitrum shakshilbuchkipo.
Shupakipak.
And then even after the medicine's cool, you can still like bathe in it. Mm-hmm. And you use it like the whole day till it's all gone.
Do you do that just as soon as you can after the baby's born?
She said that it kind of depends on the individual. She can do it right after they get home from the hospital, like if they had the stitches and it's really bothering them,
mm-hmm.
or if they want to wait till later, she can do it later after, you know, they've had their checkup or whatever. It's up to them.
Okay. Do many people want that medicine today?
Half and half. There is some that won't ask for any, and there's still some that do want the medicine done.
Yeah, that's good.
And she said, as far as the ones that know how to still do the medicine, I think it's just her and her brother left.
And her brother's Buffalo Jim.
Mm-hmm. There's probably just two of them. And then she said nobody's really ever expressed an interest to learn it either.
Well, maybe Agnes will.
Yeah.
We'll make sure she does. Is there any medicine that's used while a woman is pregnant to sort of make sure things go all right?
You can have up to about three medicines done to you while you're pregnant before you have the baby.
Okay. I guess there's certain medicines for morning sickness or something.
It's more like, one is like, I don't know how to describe some of these medicines too clearly in English, but one of them is like, to make it like a person. I mean, I don't know how you would say it, but to make it like
where it would be whole.
I guess something like that. Or something to that effect. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it to her.
Is most of it for the mother or the baby or
both?
Or something?
Both, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I assume there are certain songs or chants that go with
each
of these.
To go with
each
one, yeah. And then they also have like one for what I had told you before about, you know, remember I told you like if a man is going out on the woman, they have things like that.
Yes.
Well, they even include that in there when you're pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To keep the man at home?
No, not really. To keep the baby, the unborn baby, from getting sick. Because you never know, what if your husband's having an affair?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know, things like that. Or also, they come in contact with other people, so they could pick up other things.
Okay.
I don't know how to,
now, that was something
too much too.
That was complicated, because you were talking about a medicine for the kid if the husband or the wife was having an affair, that would make it easier on the kid. Is that what you were talking
not
about?
Not really easier mentally, but physically, so they won't lose their appetites or get skinny or be cranky. It was more of that kind of stuff. Sometimes they say if the kid has diarrhea a lot, that's from the effect of that. And then when you think about it, it does affect the kids emotionally. So what if they would affect their appetites? Like with my separation, I've noticed how my middle one has gone through a whole bunch of different changes.
Yeah.
Even with eating habits and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's tricky.
I have a question. Are the herbs always gathered fresh when somebody comes, or do you ever keep them?
I che tanahele hun lanches ki ta chebi chak shili ma jo anani to che
I che ta chu po yeche wa to na he po shu shu pa shu shili ma jo ga ni to do.
She said if it's too far to go out and get that particular herb, you can save it and it'll be dried out and you can still use it. She's got a couple of bags laying around somewhere. Since she doesn't have a car, she always has some on hand.
If you can't find, a certain herb, can you substitute something else or a combination of something else?
I tithah tushka hibana, ayamakka hibana, shaba utsna nima yinta tushka kaya mo uingwa.
Naiti gai, naiti pana pa yitse wai, hupango gu na yamu.
Chintisi ayamu tiyo.
Inta na ayam tiyik. Lai chang lu tai tigai.
Lahapan gol.
Upan gol ma me upan gol ayamu. Ma
me ai chi shau pan ne.
Ma te bo. Ma me ma chi shau pan ke ma ayamu. Ai
chi shu bao cha.
Upan gol lap ponom yo.
Um te pojale chi shu ke chi mo ja ye na ne ya mo ti shna nam ga ye la pa pan us ma cha la pa ni pe ai chi han te gol ri ma mo la ka ya mo.
Mai wa. Lelap kucurun, datin lelap kaycu ni kau minum esok. Cukup apa pun.
You, if you can't find it, you still, I guess you just leave it out, and you just go ahead. But you do the whole song like you've always done. Don't leave anything out. Just sing the whole thing all the way through. But you would be missing that one medicine.
Okay. Now, I don't know if I was talking to y'all last time or James or somebody was talking about there's some herbs that historically y'all used that grow further north. They don't grow down
here. No, probably that sassafras.
For instance.
Tea root, yeah.
What do you do about the medicine that's a big part of?
She usually keeps some on hand. Other Indian tribes
she just gets it.
Will know about it. So they'll bring it down, they'll sell it to whoever's doing medicine, and she'll always keep a supply of whatever.
What part of the sassafras do you use? The root.
The root,
Okay. Next time I'm in Swanee, I'll bring you a
sample. That'd be terrific, because I went up to Mississippi for a conference one time, and I dug up some and brought a suitcase full back to them.
All right.
So, and they just keep it on hand.
Okay.
They use that one a lot.
Okay. That was something else I was going to ask. What about herbs that grow in particular places? Is it better for an herb to grow in a shady place in some cases, or a sunny place, or a wet place, or a dry place? Does that affect the power of the medicine? See what I mean?
Can I answer that on my own?
Yeah. Does that make any difference?
As long as it's the herb you want, it don't matter where it's at.
Okay. Well, it's on the north side of something, or the south side? Okay. Let's see.
I was interested when you were talking about naming last night and how people do the names. Is there any kind of medicine connected to that? Or is it usually?
What do you mean, the kids' names?
Yes, Indian names. How is that? How are they chosen? You said they were related to medicine.
She usually decides what she wants to name the child, I think, just from memory of thinking of all the songs. And she'll also try to think of a name that somebody else doesn't have in the tribe, an Indian name. Ya tu chushka ho chifa onum gae hash prosh la ho chun chifa onum gae hanta na puti chi khuji ho ma chu sang la chong wa
ya khuj ya ke shen shu kun ga ya
ai
chi ni khopan gon mä edaksena sitä jonkun minun muissa pahoksissa suoraan.
Oma jätti huutti huutti munga tsiin aglian.
Mhm. Jätti sen se kolman syy huutti huutun minua.
Oma jätin tätä huutti kun mä maalle seittiin minua ei apuhti tsiä. Niin on huutti 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 nani tuumu.
Hupan kun se ei pakai, niin on se on se suoraan syy. Mhm.
Vaidun tuske ei pitoa.
Mhm.
I was asking her, and she said that usually they'll think of a certain section in some of the songs that you could kind of use as a name. And then she'll go ahead and name the person. I said, what if there's somebody else by that same Indian name? And she goes, that's okay too, as long as, let's say, they're from Brighton or the other reservation, not right. The same reservation.
Okay. That was something you reminded me. Does the medicine differ amongst the different clans? So that certain clans have certain medicines that other clans don't.
Yatim hochifka he aichmi aishlok pachinta stati mushala matimta letan tachak tinji de stati imta.
Mhm. Nan tan
skata. Sala duriska aichmi sa hoska aichumna kulega e ma usa mati uche.
Mhm. Et stati pra aichmi ami.
Ma letan tachak ku pachinta imta.
Mhm. Et stas pachinta imta de stati mari ma so ka de stati de ma mu. To de stati ga yamku.
Oma jatkuu aina, että eikö minä ja eikö minua tahtiin sinun tiiä maalikkuutsi, minkä
olisi matiin muu. Minua sinun tiiä maalikkuutsi.
Mä jätin,
eikö minua tahtiin. Minua olisi tullut, mä olin mutta.
From what she's told me in the past, I was asking her, didn't you say that a long time ago it was mostly the Panther clan that was pretty much in charge of the medicine? And she said, yeah, she said a long time ago it was mostly Panther people and some of the Wind clan that were considered like the medicine people in the tribe. But now it's whoever learns it, learns it.
Okay. What about different groups of people like? Is it the Cow Creek crowd that's up north, up around Okeechobee and Brighton? Is that the
Creeks.
Is that, they're different. Do they speak the same language?
They speak Creek.
Creek.
Uh-huh. There's some that will know both, the Miccosukee and the Creek.
Okay.
Chisha Pushni Chale, Aikchimi, Hapashna Chale, Tithama Tastatunta.
I
was asking her, is the songs in Creek and you have to learn the Creek? And she said that it's kind of both. There are songs in Miccosukee, but the Miccosukee she's talking about, I think, is the old Miccosukee language, not this recent. Because it's hard for me to understand her. You know what I'm saying? When she sings it, it's a lot of the old language, I think.
It's closer to the, Creek language than the Miccosukee is.
She said, we don't speak Creek, and the Creeks don't speak Miccosukee. I mean, there's a few people that speak both. But our medicine songs are combined. There's some Creek in there plus Miccosukee. So when they're learning, they're going to have to learn the Miccosukee, and we're going to have to learn the Creek parts.
Oh.
That's why I think it's hard for me to pick up, because it's like a whole new...
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a song that you could sing that would be an example of that?
On baskas kan seitsin jo shopping gezin jan shoyim mete.
La faus kin panachke.
Ha.
Kush kush kin ich gaus. An de tinga.
Kush pedik chu no hachi.
Ha.
Mit nicht am. Hone chini cha. Upo ye leka shopak ta sa ku shulut shoy chin la pa thoy chin la bi shoy chin ka sha phoy chin. Tala ho tala. Hu tala ho pula Ashagla pili chan hupu yalika Ashopak tala ku shulut shui chan Lapa thui chan labi shui chan kasha thui chan Tala ho tala ho tala ho tala ho pula
That's why it's hard for me to learn. Because I don't know it. I can kind of make out like cooling and maybe a few little words in there, but it's hard. So that's why it's hard for us to pick it up.
Because
people think, if you know Miccosukee, why can't you sing the song?
Yeah.
But
it's just
it's not. Language. It's like a whole new. It's like a whole new language to me.
Well, I'll be done. That's not a very short song. I thought it was really long.
I wonder how long the long is.
She's saying
the same thing, but it's four times.
It's
like one long phrase, but said four times.
How did that
so fit? If I can learn that one line, then I just have to sing it four times. So if someone burns themselves, she said they usually take like crystal, you know, lard or whatever, and then you sing your song on that, and then you smear it on there, or blow on there, and it should cool it off.
Okay. So there's no real fancy concoction.
But you don't. Oh my, we've got to be like they want that. Yeah. But you don't put water on the bread.
Yeah.
You could leave it.
Or it'll get blistered.
Okay.
I think next time, hopefully, if I start in with them, at least I'll be able to learn the short ones. I don't know about the long ones.
Four times, I guess, like Andrew's saying that came about.
She said that it's always been that way. Yeah. She doesn't, I guess they never really said why.
Are there any gestures or motions that normally go along with the singing that certain times? And that's just a bamboo stick about 18 inches long that's hollowed out. Now, does that have any magical properties? Can you use anything, like a silver straw?
She said that she's known that's what they originally used, but she said she's seen people where if they didn't have none of those, they've used a straw, a regular straw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about?
So it's really your powers are in your songs.
Yeah.
It's not really in the herbs or in your
stuff,
whatever
it's
you
in
use.
The,
it's in your.
Because if you can use Crisco,
so it's not bad. Because I think some people used to think it was the herbs.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, it's the combination.
Uh huh. Omte, jatuski mik chumashkan, aik chutaiti chupik chunam gai, hopan gulas chag mecho.
Mecho huma, tolo eskin tuan gulas kan asa kumari huma. Tolai chakkutin gai chatkumashkan hukka 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 hukka.
I was asking her, I said, what if you were at a place where you didn't have none of your herbs? nothing else. Could you just still try to sing the song? And she said, yeah, but if you at least have that one herb that she's got with her,
yeah,
that usually grows out here, she said, you could even just use that if you can't find nothing else.
Yeah. Sound like emergency treatment.
Yeah.
Are there any minerals involved, like certain rocks that are ground up? Or?
There is one for one song, I think. There's four rocks, like little rocks that you put in one of your mixtures for one of them.
You don't grind them up, you just put them in.
Just the way they are. There's this one chant, I do remember this one lot. It's for let's say a person, I don't know how you can describe it. Let's say a guy will not settle down. He dates this woman and that woman, and he's just kind of that way. Playboy, I guess you would say.
Don't point at me.
And they won't settle down, so let's say this girl, and maybe if the guy is willing to want to try to settle down and be more stable and have a marriage or either stay with that one girl, there's medicine you can do for that, and that's when the rocks, they use the rocks. And what it is they dig a hole, and after she's prepared the medicine and everything, she's usually early in the morning, you have to drink. It's like a real black mixture of the medicine. You go out there in the morning, and it's like a hole that's dug, and you throw up. You drink as much as you can till you keep throwing up four times. You do that same process. Then at the end, that's when the rocks are put into the hole, and you cover up the hole. And that's supposed to make you more subtle and more stable and not want you to, I guess, make you wander and all that kind of stuff.
Is it the, what does the throwing up have to do with it?
It's cleansing yourself
from
all the women you've ever had. Yeah.
You need more than four times. Does the rock have to do with the kind of rock it is, or the size, or the shape, or the color?
She said that the rocks could be the small ones. It don't matter what size, really, or what kind. She said that's supposed to be the anchor.
Yes.
To make you heavier or more settled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about a woman that's wild?
They feel like, it's like when you're dating different people, they feel like you're consuming their spirit or part of them with you. It's like when they're breathing on you, stuff like that. So I think in the old days, if they had been dating someone for a while, when they were going to meet the next person and go on, they would cleanse themselves of the other one.
That makes sense.
So they didn't carry around all the stuff. I remember I dated someone for a while, and when I separated, she did that for me, and I went through the whole cleansing process. It's to make me more of a person, more stable in whatever, instead of having all these other mixed feelings, I guess, from the other relationships.
Yeah, like a rite of passage kind of. Leave one and...
She always says that's the problem with the boyfriend I had that I left.
Uh-huh.
She said he's never done it, and he was a typical
mixed up
playboy all through our relationship and never really settled down, and he won't go through the medicine. So she said he's always going to be that way.
Who?
Danny.
Well, there you go.
A lot of the guys don't want to do it because prescriptions after your medicine is not to drink alcoholic beverages for 4 months. So a lot of them don't want to give up their alcohol. And for women, I think you can't use perfume and heavy, that kind of smell and stuff.
Is alcohol a part of any medicine, like a part of a herbal mixture, do you mix anything in alcohol? Is it always water if you mix it with a liquid?
It's water. Ugugulam ta aiche taya machka ugugulam ka ya mu machka tan.
Ugugulam.
Iski is ma misti man. Water.
Is it just any water, like tap water?
Ugila han ta cha.
Ugugulam ta iska. Lai shugun bi ya. Shugun bi ya. Lan ta shugun bu ma.
Now you were talking at one time. About diet, food. Certain foods go with certain medicines.
Like sometimes she'll tell you you can't eat backbone, or you know there'll be certain things that you can't eat, like fruits. Let's say fruits that rot very easy, things like that.
Are there any that you're supposed to eat?
I'm going to do another song for you, and then this one's for cuts and stuff.
Okay. When
you say this, Shop,